OTC is go.
Thank you, this is go.
PTC is go.
Copy, this is go.
Houston flight is go.
Pilot go.
STM is go.
Safety comp is go.
STU is go.
LRD is go.
SRO is go.
CDI is go.
Launch director, NTD, our launch team is ready to proceed at this time.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Brightside Patriots has a message for liberals and the mainstream media.
You can't handle the truth.
So, buckle up, snowflakes, because we're about to deliver the politically direct best in conservative commentary, news, and investigative reports. We're telling the truth, and we're not going to stop. Okay, liberals, back under the bridge with the rest of your fellow trolls, and oh yeah, thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots.
They are special, special people
on RSPRadio1.com. Welcome to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor. Oh, it's the Tuesday night edition, 16th of February, and welcome to it. Hello, Diane.
Hello, Craig. Okay, is that it? Can I go to bed now?
No, unfortunately, that's not it. Unfortunately for you, fortunately for our listeners. But we will only be doing an hour tonight, and thankfully, all of our technical issues seem to be cleared up now.
Right.
Which is a good thing.
Yeah, and I guess we need to tell people why the show will be abbreviated tonight and maybe next week.
Yeah, I mean, this has nothing to do with technicalities. This has everything to do with Diane's wish list.
Let's just put it this way. I am in the process of remodeling our home. From top to bottom.
Casa del Diane.
Yes. And we had to make a decision between doing a total remodel or moving. And being that I was, before I got full-time into this political arena, I'm actually a professional decorator by profession. And after years of doing other people's homes, it was time to do mine.
You know, and let me just stop you right there, because that's kind of an interesting concept when you get right down to it. So often you will find somebody, and it's not just decorating, it's almost any given profession. They do it for other people. They never get around to doing it for themselves.
Right. I mean, my home looked beautiful. That was not the issue. The issue was a cat that had a peeing marking problem, destroying some things that I finally said, I've had enough. And once you start with one thing, you lead to another. And it ended up being a total house redo. Kitchens, two of the four bathrooms, two of the four bedrooms, my office, a total redo. And the thing that really made us decide to stay here and not rebuild. I mean, I designed and had this house built to begin with, was the fact I love my lake. I love my gated community. We're safe here.
Lake Sorry.
Yeah, Lake Sorry. And to build this kind of house now would probably be double the price of what I'm putting in to redo it. But I mean, this is a total gut job, and it starts 7 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Well, and folks, to be clear, what Diana's had to do is literally move everything, virtually everything, out of the house and into some other place. I mean,
Not some other place. Let's put it this way. Our patio, our screened-in, roofed-in patio, you can no longer walk on. It's got tons of stuff.
How many
cars?
Two
of the four bathrooms that had already been remodeled are boxed ceiling to floor. the garage, forget the cars, they're outside.
Yeah, I was just going to ask how many. I was just going to ask how many cars you can fit in your garage right now.
None. And luckily, some of the stuff that I didn't want to buy new that I wanted to have reupholstered, they came today, took all that. Tomorrow they come and disassemble my husband's pool table and take that. And
that's going to be a sad moment for your husband. That's going to be a sad moment seeing that pool table get disassembled. But it's all okay. In a few months, everything will be back in its appointed place.
Yes.
Demo will be done quickly. Then the reconstruction or redoing of the house takes place. And, 6 months from now, you'll finally have all your furniture back where you want it.
I know. And if the new stuff comes in, because, with them, it's like coronavirus delays this, coronavirus delays that. Mm-hmm. The usual nonsense that everyone's going through for everything. Sure. Blame everything on coronavirus. But tomorrow and the rest of this week is going to be the worst, because they're going to be ripping up a house full of tile.
There's a lot of people that don't have a lot of tile in their houses.
Mm-hmm.
But let me tell you something, folks. Tearing tile out of a house is a messy, loud job.
Right, and my cats are not going to be happy. That's why we have to stay in the house during demo, because we have animals. And ripping out the kitchen, and it's just going to be a mess, but it's going to be beautiful. And who knows, the contractor might actually put us in some design magazines that he's featured in,
which would be really cool. But let's make one thing clear here. The cat with the bladder issues did not destroy the entire house. We're not talking about something the size of an ancient saber-toothed tiger.
No.
I mean, you started this out, we had a cat with a peeing problem, and now we got to redo the whole house. That's not exactly what happened.
Well, he destroyed, and thankfully, being in the field, I have somebody that's going to restore a dining room hutch that I did not want to part with, and he, marking his territory, destroyed part of the bottom. He can restore it.
That's good.
And I'm glad I made that decision, because when he told me what that hutch is worth today, I said, thank you for restoring it.
Generally, it's not the type of thing you can replace by going to the Goodwill.
No.
So Diane's got a house that's about ready to be demoed from the inside.
99% packed up. I got more work to do tonight.
That's why we're only doing an hour tonight. We're gonna let Diane out of the show early so she can get back to work.
Yeah, I've got to bag up. I refuse to take down the floor to ceiling drapes, because we're talking 15 to 18 foot ceilings, and I just said I'm not crawling up there. I'm still injured from the car accident. The last thing I'm going to do is climb up on a ladder to take these giant puddling drapes down. So we came up with a solution. I'm going to be bagging the bottoms, stuffing them in, bagging them up, pinning them high so the demolition doesn't affect them. And then someone will come in and steam them and whatever. They'll be good as new. But I mean, the worst part of this, usually when you have construction guys, they never show up on the day they say they're going to come. Well, my guys are so good, they're coming the day before they were scheduled to come.
Folks, it's going to be a house redo that can be seen from space. There's going to be such a cloud of dust when this is going on. They'll be able to see it from space.
Beautiful exotic wood floors after.
Well, it's going to be gorgeous when it's done. Diane and I have been doing redecorating porn for the last couple of months. Yeah, but
years, really.
in earnest. We've been doing it for years, you know, just playing around. Oh, I like this kitchen. I hate that one. And, you know, that kind of thing. But, you know, in this case, it's been in earnest. And, yeah. And I got to tell you, Diane shared with me, this probably been about 2, maybe 3 weeks ago now, what the floors and the countertops and the cabinets and stuff like that are going to look like. It's gorgeous. It's gorgeous.
Yeah.
You know,
hey, my training came in handy.
Yeah, it did. So 1 hour show tonight, and folks, we're going to be talking about three, basic things. We're going to start with the impeachment. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's going to be the rest of this segment. And then in the second and what will be the last segment tonight, we're going to break that kind of into two topics. We're going to talk about what's going on in the state of New York with Cuomo and the nursing homes. And then we're going to finish the show getting our space geek on because yes. Thursday is the landing of Perseverance on Mars.
Yes, and so far all systems are go. The Perseverance is exactly where it needs to be. The maneuvers have been accomplished. You know, more are to come, but so far everything looks a big thumbs up.
So we'll get into that coming up here in a little bit, but right now let's get into the impeachment thing. That all happened over the weekend, and to begin with, we're sitting there watching the very early part of this. It started in the morning on Saturday, mm-hmm. this past Saturday, and all of a sudden, out of the clear blue, the prosecution, the House managers, decided, well, by golly, we want to call a witness, to which Trump's defense responded, well, if you're going to call a witness, don't handcuff us because we got well over 100 that we want to call.
Right. And we can actually thank Lindsey Graham for handling this in a very legal, smart way. What he did, and many people were aghast when he first did it, but he actually voted with the Democrats to call witnesses. Now, what people don't understand is, you can argue and bring up a vote again, but only if you're on the prevailing side. If you vote against it, like most Republicans did, they cannot question it again. They have to accept the decision. But by Graham voting as he did with the prevailing side, he was part of those that got them to way back down on that.
Well, and let's be clear about this. He initially voted against having witnesses, and then right. when he saw that side wasn't going to prevail, he switched his vote, and people went, oh my God, what is he doing? And like Diane said, only on the prevailing side do you have bargaining power. And once right. that vote went through to have witnesses, Lindsey Graham then went into the back rooms and started the negotiation process, and they came back out, maybe it was an hour and a half later, and decided, mm-hmm. we're not going to have any witnesses.
Right. And what they were afraid of is because Graham said point blank, we're going to call Pelosi, Kamala Harris, and all the other, you know, assorted yep. Democrat troublemakers whose video that was shown showing them actually really instigating riots over this past year would have come back to bite them. I mean, it bit them as it was. But if they had put Pelosi on the stand, which she could not have refused.
Right.
So we have Lindsey Graham to thank for that.
Yeah, because it could have been dragging on for months.
Right.
You know, had they gone down that witness rabbit hole, it could have gone on for months. But as it was, they came back. Each side had 2 hours for closing arguments. The House managers used all but about 20 minutes of their time. Mm-hmm. But Trump's defense only used a little over an hour of their times. And then it went to the vote. And as we all know, the voting. They came up 10 shy of two-thirds, so that means Trump was acquitted in that vote. And I got to tell you, I spent, after the vote and everything, I spent about 2 hours watching CNN.
Yeah, that's amazing. I can't watch 2 minutes of it.
Well, I had my wife tie me to a chair so that I was forced to sit there and watch it. But literally, I wanted to see what they were saying over on their side. And folks, if you hadn't seen what the vote was, you would have thought Trump was convicted.
Yeah.
I mean, listening to CNN, they're talking about what a great job, what a fantastic job the House managers did and how successful the House managers were, you know, and how obviously guilty Trump is. And I mean, this was going on for the full 2 hours I was watching it. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't have ever known just by watching that Trump had actually been acquitted.
Yeah, but there was a lot to do with the acquittal. And I think it could be really summed up well by what Trump said basically today about Mitch McConnell. Ooh. Because McConnell actually did vote not to impeach, which shocked everybody. But if you remember, after the verdict was announced, he then went on the public record and said the reason he voted not to impeach was not because he didn't believe he was guilty. He believes he was guilty, but because constitutionally he believed that they had no right to impeach him. Okay, that's well and fine. But today, Trump actually trashed Mitch McConnell big time, and he deserved every frickin' minute of it. He first called him a dour, sullen, and unsmiling political hack. And then he said, not only that, he added that the GOP would never again be respected or strong with McConnell at its helm. And you know what? He's 100% correct.
Well, part of what Trump had to say, and it was a long thrashing. Okay. He said, Mitch is a dour, sullen, and unsmiling political hack, and if Republican senators are going to stay with him, they will not win again. He will never do what needs to be done or what is right for our country. Where necessary and appropriate, I will back primary rivals who espouse making America great again and our policy of America first. We want brilliant, strong, thoughtful, and compassionate leadership.
Right. And he also added that the Democrats, and especially Chuck Schumer, you know, Chucky the Clown, played McConnell like a fiddle. And Trump actually blamed McConnell for the GOP Senate losses in Georgia because he did not offer big enough stimulus checks. And you want to know something? Trump was right, because Trump, right from the beginning, wanted the $2,400, and McConnell would not budge.
Nope, he wouldn't. And Trump
held it up as bad as Nancy Pelosi held it up in the House. He held it up that bad in the Senate.
Yeah, Trump was 100% correct in every bit of what he said about McConnell. Another thing he put out there was, my only regret is that McConnell begged for my strong support and endorsement before the great people of Kentucky in the 2020 election, and I gave it to him. He went from 1 point down to 20 points up and won. How quickly he forgets. Without my endorsement, McConnell would have lost and lost badly. Now his numbers are lower than ever before. He is destroying the Republican side of the Senate, and in doing so, seriously hurting our country.
Yeah. And but, you know, McConnell's words, when you think about some of the things he said, like The attack was a foreseeable consequence of the growing crescendo of false statements, conspiracy theories, and reckless hyperbole, which the defeated president kept shouting into the largest megaphone on planet Earth. Well, you know what, Mitch? He had every right to do so, because you know damn well that those Dominion machines were tampered with, that the late ballots coming in the middle of the night were phonies, that the whole election was rigged from the get-go. You know it. And Trump is right in everything he said.
You know, what President Trump is talking about in this rather long statement, really, is replacing Mitch McConnell as the minority leader in the Senate. And he should be replaced.
He should definitely be replaced, especially when he said at that press conference that he held that President Trump is still liable for everything he did while in office. He didn't get away with anything yet. We have a criminal justice system in this country. We have civil litigation. Now, both Craig and I are going to handle that in our next op-eds. We're both going to do companion pieces relating to that. But don't think a criminal thing is so easy to do, because if it's good for President Trump as a private citizen to haul him into criminal or civil court, it could be done for Obama too.
Well, and civil court proceedings have been filed for by a member of Congress.
Right. From Georgia, I believe.
From Georgia. So, you know, this is hardly over, although it really is over. I mean, First of all, you're even in a civil suit where the standard of proof is much lower than it would be in a criminal court, you're going to have an awful hard time proving that Donald Trump, as president, incited an insurrection.
He didn't. He only incited an insurrection if you look at the cut, pasted, and chopped up videos that the Democrats presented. But if you watch the full videos, listen to his full speech, he did no such thing.
You know, it's just amazing. McConnell has, for the most part, ended his own political career.
Yeah, but you know what? He's got his connections to China with his wife, so, you know, maybe we need to look at his bank accounts a little bit.
I think so, and Trump even brought that up. Mm-hmm. In you know what he had to say, he said McConnell has no credibility on China because of his family's substantial Chinese business holdings. He does nothing on this tremendous economic and military threat. Again, 100% correct.
Yep. Now, you know, right now people are saying, oh, well, Trump will run again in 2024 and will win by a landslide. Don't be so sure that Trump himself will run. He might very well groom certain people that he feels can carry on the Make America Great Again tradition. And I think one of them, if he does not run, I think one of them will be our Florida Governor Ron DeSantis.
I think Ron DeSantis is in a prime position right now to make that run for 2024. And I think he's already leading up to it. I mean, some of the things he's saying, the press that he's getting right now, he's taking advantage of open microphones, and it has all the earmarks of an early testing of the waters, let's say.
And he's also a very, very nice man. I've met him on numerous occasions, being a member of BREC. And also, he's getting a lot of political clout now because he's standing up to Biden. What many people don't realize is Joe Biden wants to ban people from coming into Florida. Tourists. We are a tourist-driven state. We're not an industrial state where, you know, we might be a state of oranges, but we are mostly an agricultural and tourist state. Agricultural in the sense of fruits and vegetables. And DeSantis said, you're not doing it. You're not going to shut down my state. And then Biden, you know, well, we need to shut everything down and this and that. And DeSantis is saying, you're not shutting down my my state. Florida's economy is thriving. Our COVID cases are down. Our hospitalizations are down. Our death rates are down. Masks are not mandatory. They're only recommended. I mean, he's standing up to Biden every way he can.
Well, and good for him. You know, what separates, the way you can tell the difference between a state like Florida and, let's say, a state like California, is that Florida is fruits and vegetables. California is pretty much fruits, nuts, and flakes.
That's true.
You know, that's true. California is kind of like a bowl of granola. What ain't fruits and nuts is flakes.
Yeah. We're actually leading the country in new home starts, which is surprising in the era of COVID. And I mean, tourism is our driving force.
Sure is.
And he wants to prevent that. He wants to, in other words, shut down a thriving economy because we're a red state. Well, and that's really what it boils down to. And he's not having any part of it.
No. He's doing this in such a way that everybody in the nation knows it. And that's what I mean about testing the waters. He's getting that out there.
He's a personal friend of Donald Trump. He supported President Trump from day one, steadfast support. And President Trump appreciates that. And I would not be surprised if President Trump doesn't run, if he does not go after the Republican nomination. But if Trump does run, I wouldn't even be shocked if he wasn't Trump's VP, because we know Trump will never go near Mike Pence again.
Oh, no, not.
No, and rightly so, I might add.
Now, here's my take. I don't think Trump's going to run. I really don't. I think he's going to leave this to somebody else, but I think Trump is going to wind up being the kingmaker in a lot of races.
Yes.
You know, not only for the White House, but also the House and the Senate. I just want to bring this up because I think this was interesting. You know, we've been talking about what President Trump had to say regarding Mitch McConnell. Senator Ron Johnson, a Republican out of Wisconsin, he gave an interview the other day, and he said in this interview, and I find this fascinating because I've seen, like everybody has, all these different videos, right, of the insurrection, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Ron Johnson, the Republican out of Wisconsin, senator, said, quote, "This didn't seem like an armed insurrection to me," unquote.
Right.
He went on to say, quote, "I mean, armed, when you hear armed, don't you think of firearms? Here's the question I would have liked to have asked. How many firearms were confiscated? How many shots were fired? I'm only aware of one, and I'll defend that law enforcement officer for taking that shot. It was a tragedy, okay? But I think there was only one."
Well, you know what? It's now been proven that I think it's two of the people that actually died during the riots did not die from any altercations. They actually died of heart attacks.
Right. The only people who died in that riot were supposedly Trump supporters. You know,
correct?
And regardless of what they died from, I mean, you can figure the cops are pretty much, for the most part, on Trump's side, right? The woman that was climbing through that window behind the house into that house lobby, back lobby, that was shot and killed by the Capitol Police officer, that was a Trump supporter. There was somebody else outside that was sitting on the steps of the Capitol that had a stroke and passed away.
Right.
But none of the... nobody died that you could look at and say, well, that was a liberal. So if this was an insurrection, it was probably the worst insurrection in the history of insurrections.
You know why that is? Because it was not an insurrection.
Exactly. That's exactly the point. And that's the point that Senator Johnson from Wisconsin was making when he gave that interview. Okay, we've just got a couple of seconds left in this segment. Diane, if we're going to replace Mitch McConnell, who would you replace him with?
Ted Cruz.
I was thinking either Ted Cruz, that would be my number one. Lindsey Graham would be my number two.
Yeah, I would go along with that.
But I'd rather see Ted Cruz.
I'd rather see Ted Cruz because he's a constitutional lawyer.
Yep.
And next to Trey Gowdy, no one knows the law better than Ted Cruz.
I agree. All right. So, you know, the fallout from, you know, butthurt liberals is going to continue for a while. We'll keep an eye on it. We'll see if any of it goes anywhere. But Trump, impeached twice, convicted, zero.
Exactly.
That's the final score on that. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick break. We got one more segment in the show tonight. Stay with us. There's more Right Side Patriots after this.
Hi, guys. Diane Sori from The Patriot Factor on thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's longtime Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out The National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at rspradio1.com.
You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sori. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, Diane Sori at the Patriot Factor, an abbreviated show tonight due to pending deconstruction of Diane's house.
I've never had a migraine in my life, but I might experience one for the first time with the jackhammers.
They're going to be running full blast, and it all starts for you tomorrow morning. But we've got a couple more topics we want to talk about tonight. Let's get into this god-awful mess with Governor Cuomo in the state of New York.
Well, you know something, it's only a god-awful mess because Andrew Cuomo is a filthy, dirty liar who tried to cull the elderly herd because it put too much of a drain on his Social Security monetary system.
Yeah.
That's it in a nutshell.
This is insanity. This is absolute insanity. You know, we've talked about this a couple of times in the last few shows. But last May, towards the end of May, Diane wrote an article about Cuomo, New York, and this pending nursing home disaster.
Yep. And I nailed it.
You did. You got everything right. You know, you could literally see the handwriting on the wall here. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, everything you talked about in that particular op-ed is proving to be true. and yep. sadly true. Not only was there a cover-up of the amount of deaths, there is also now evidence of a cover-up when it came to how many COVID patients were shipped into nursing homes in the state of New York.
Right. In other words, he deliberately shipped in known COVID elderly patients back to nursing homes, knowing that it would infect even more patients. In other words, simply, he was calling the elderly herd.
That's exactly what he was doing. And he knew
it. And he knew exactly what he was doing. That's the thing. He's a murderer.
Yeah, I don't know how else to look at it. I mean, he even had health officials within the state telling him, don't do this.
Right.
Don't do this. And he did it anyway. But now, this crazy bastard is blaming everybody except himself.
Except himself. In fact, some New York, the political hierarchy, are saying that he is actually the reason for people leaving New York. They're afraid they're going to be next.
It's absolute insanity. Folks, yes. if you're not familiar with how this all started, okay, I'm going to try and encapsulate this in a nutshell. All right, COVID breaks out roughly a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? All of a sudden, it's a pandemic. All of a sudden, people are getting sick. Well, what the governor of New York, Andrew Cuomo, decided to do was take people who had COVID, who had contracted the virus, and put them in nursing homes
mm-hmm.
with people who had not contracted it, but being that nursing homes generally are filled with elderly people, they are at a much higher risk.
Right.
Okay, then nursing home patients, the people that live there, the residents, they start dying.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, while this is all going on, Cuomo also banned people from going to nursing homes to visit their relatives who live there.
Right. People died okay. alone.
Mm-hmm. So now I want you to think about this. I want you to let this sink in. Let's marinate on this for a minute. The only way you could get into a nursing home to visit your relatives who lived in a nursing home because COVID was keeping you out of there was to contract COVID and they'd put you in there.
Right. Yeah.
Now, I know that sounds ridiculous, but it's true.
But it's true. But he's been holding a number of press conferences over the past couple of days. And some instances of him placing blame on everybody but himself include something that he said on February 15th when he says, visitors brought COVID-19 into New York's nursing homes, not positive patients ordered there by his administration. Really? Really? Visitors? You didn't allow any visitors, you moron.
That's just the point. You couldn't visit there because right. you might take COVID there if you mm-hmm. did. But if you had COVID, he put you there.
Right.
How insane is that?
Very insane. But, you know, there is someone in all this who really does deserve some kudos. And that's Fox News' woman in the morning, Janice Dean.
Oh.
Both her in-laws died in New York nursing homes of COVID. They were not allowed to be there when they died. And she has led a crusade over these months to get Cuomo and hold him responsible for what he's done. And she is one of the prime reasons the story has not been dropped and has gone on as long as it has. And really, no matter what you think of Fox News right now because of what they did to Trump, you've got to give her kudos for being one of the prime reasons this bastard has been exposed.
Janice Dean, with this, is like a pit bull on a pork chop.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
She ain't letting go.
No.
And damn good for her. You know?
Both her husband's parents died alone in a nursing home, not being able to be seen by their families because of this bastard.
It's absolutely disgusting what he did. Mm-hmm. Now, with all this coming to light, and it's all coming out, okay, one of his top aides admitted to state lawmakers that they hid the data because they feared a Department of Justice investigation.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
Now, they're going to be investigated. And this is devastating. There's now talk of a recall of him, possibly an impeachment of Andrew Cuomo. However, over on CNN, his brother Chris is not saying a word. Now, when Andrew Cuomo was getting kudos and writing a book about what a great leader he was and getting
winning
Emmy
an Emmy
awards
for his book,
yeah.
Yes.
Getting an Emmy Award for his press conferences on COVID, you know, and everybody thought, well, he's just the greatest thing since sliced cheese. His brother, Chris Cuomo, over on CNN, why, they were having what they called the bro show.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and oh, it was all fun and games, and you know what a great guy my brother is, and now, why, Chris is as quiet as a church mouse,
isn't he? Though, isn't he? He's just as guilty for promoting lies on the air. You know, while Andrew Cuomo didn't put a gun to anyone's head, he didn't actually pull a trigger. He is guilty of murder.
Yeah.
And I really believe this man needs to be criminally charged. I hope every relative of those who died in the nursing home goes after him civilly, along with the criminal indictment. Because I got news for you, his father must be turning over in his grave. Because while his father was a Democrat, he was more of a Kennedy-style Democrat. His son, Andrew, is a Pelosi-style Democrat.
Yeah, yeah. This is a horrible, horrible situation that's going on there in New York. I think criminal charges are going to end up being filed. I don't think it's just going to be civil charges. I think there's some criminal misconduct that took place in this. And let's be honest here. Andrew Cuomo isn't the only one that's getting the light shined on him right now, because there had to be other people involved at the state level in high office that knew what was going on and kept their mouths shut
and
too.
Kept quiet. But the only problem is New York is a blue state. It's loaded with liberal judges.
Yep, I understand.
It'll probably go nowhere.
Well, I'll tell you something. This is such a big deal, and so many people died from this malfeasance. And mm-hmm. from this wanton malfeasance, let's put it that way, then I don't think even the liberal media or liberal judges are going to be able to save Andrew Cuomo from this. Well, I mean, this is devastating. I think even in a blue state, this is going to be devastating.
Well, we never thought Trump was going to lose, and look what happened. You know, when the media has not turned on him yet.
Not yet. Not
and
yet,
that's,
but
that's critical.
They're gonna, because they're gonna find they don't have any choice.
Or you might find Andrew Cuomo having an unfortunate accident.
Yeah, can I get on this early? Andrew Cuomo did not kill himself.
Right. You better get on that early.
Can I jump on that train early? All right. So in the minutes we have left, about 15 minutes or so, we've got one more topic, and this one is near and dear to Diane, and it's got me geeked out from the word go.
Right.
Thursday afternoon, in the middle of the afternoon, Perseverance, the new little rover, is going to be scheduled to land on Mars. And right now, it's a mere 2.89
million miles left to go.
Yeah, I mean, and it's going at 47,857 miles an hour.
Yes, and it's not quite as little as the other rovers were. It's actually the size of a good-sized minivan.
Yeah.
And it's right now, all systems are go. Everything is in position. They predict no problems because it's going to use the same landing logistics that the other successful rovers have done. Of course, you can never, rule out a sudden one of the infamous Mars windstorms or whatever. But right now, it all looks good.
Now, this is just a point of interest, probably to me, I don't know, to anybody else, but it dawned on me this afternoon that being the Perseverance rover is safer than being Diane Sorey. And let me explain this. Because I think I'm absolutely correct in this. Being the Perseverance rover is safer than being Diane Sorey. Diane Sorey couldn't ride her bike around the block without getting hit by a car. This thing has traveled nearly 300 million miles and nothing has touched it.
Yeah, this happened to me on the day this was launched and when I was hit by the car on my bicycle. But I ain't moving. First of all, I'm just really relearning how to walk right, so I'm not going to be on any bicycle on Thursday.
No, I'm just saying, being this rover flying through space 300 million miles is safer than being you on a bicycle going around the block. That's all
true.
I'm saying.
Well,
that's all I'm saying.
Scheduled to land around 3:38 p.m. EST. It's going to hit the top of the Martian atmosphere, traveling at about 12,100 miles per hour at 3:48 p.m. EST. And the friction from the atmosphere will heat up the bottom of the spacecraft to temperatures as high as 2,370 degrees Fahrenheit. And then comes the parachute deployment. So while it's starting its descent at roughly 3:30 p.m., it won't actually touch ground till about 3:55 p.m.
Well, it's got a long ways to go, even from the top of the atmosphere. And I mean,
right.
You know, right now, 47,857 miles per hour. When it enters the atmosphere, you said, what, roughly 12,100 miles an hour. Sometime tomorrow, they're going to want to tap the brakes.
Yeah, a little bit. But it's very interesting about the touchdown. Now, the descent stage, they will use what's called the sky crane maneuver, which will lower the rover down to the surface on nylon tethers. And it should make it down, like I said, at 3:55 p.m. EST.
That nylon tether is roughly 21 feet long.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so the sky crane itself has gimballing rocket engines so that it can maneuver. And it's also got a ground scanning radar. So it's going to kind of see where it is, and those rockets are going to maneuver it to where they think they need to be to get a good soft touchdown. As soon as the wheels contact the Martian surface, that 21-foot tether releases, and the sky crane then rockets off to a safe distance, literally until it runs out of fuel, and then crashes into the surface, excuse me, where it won't hit the rover itself.
Well, here's something also that's very important to note. Everybody's concerned about that 7-minute blackout period, but you really don't have to be that concerned because the rover can land safely on Mars without communications with Earth. In fact, Perseverance actually has a pre-programmed landing instructions, and it has significant autonomy on its own. Now, additional communication passes are planned in the hours and days following the landing event. So even if we don't hear from it right away, don't think it's crashed.
Right. And this is going to be fascinating to watch, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But even more fascinating, and folks, you gotta understand how this works, okay? You don't just aim at Mars and fire a rocket at it.
Right.
Okay. Think about all the complex calculations that had to go into this. They launch last July. At that point, Mars is fairly close to Earth, but this rover, this thing, goes out into an orbit, and as it swings around the Earth, of course, orbiting the Sun, the Earth catches back up. Mm-hmm. Where the rover is, the rover then uses the Earth's gravity to slingshot it in the right direction towards where Mars is going to be several months later.
Right.
Okay, so they're aiming at the blackness of space at that point.
Right.
Okay, so right. Now the thing travels a total of 300 million miles. And at the end of that traveling, Mars, in its orbit around the Sun, has to be there. This mm-hmm. thing has to be aimed so precisely that it enters the atmosphere at 12,000 miles an hour, and the arc of it coming down, and the parachute opening, and then the rocket maneuvering, takes it to a landing spot called Jezero Crater. Now, mm-hmm. Jezero Crater is roughly the size of Lake Tahoe.
Right.
Okay, so you're hitting a pretty small object after 300 million miles at 47,857 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to aim this, you've got to do this so precisely that it comes down in that crater. But they're actually aiming for the northwest quadrant. Mm-hmm. Of what is the size of Lake Tahoe.
Yeah, well, they're doing that for specific reasons because they can actually, they feel that the Perseverance can actually go over that crater and then get out into the surrounding areas. But people need to understand the basic mission of Perseverance is astrobiology. What this little rover is going to do is search for signs of ancient microbial life. They're not looking for Marvin the Martian, folks. Okay, the rover will characterize the planet's geology and past climate, which will actually pave the way for human exploration in the future and will be the first mission to collect and hold on to Martian rock and sediment samples for later return to Earth. And that's key. They are looking for signs of past life or possible still microbial and bacterial life still existing on Mars.
Not only that, they've got the MOXIE experiment. They're going to try mm-hmm. and create oxygen.
Right,
they're going to do that from what passes as air. On Mars, it's not really air. So they got that going on. They've got a helicopter with them. Tiny helicopter.
Yep.
And they're going to try and fly that thing around Mars. Now, I learned something really fascinating about that helicopter. I was looking into it yesterday. it's the whole thing, it's like the size of a small shoebox. Okay, but it's got two propellers on it. Those propellers have to spin five times faster than they would on Earth just to get the thing off the ground. But those little propellers, do you know how much those propellers weigh? This is fascinating.
I used to know, but off the top of my head, no.
It's the same weight as putting 6 quarters in your hand.
Ah, okay. I knew it was very light.
Yeah, it's fascinating stuff.
Yes.
Right now, what it's doing is it's looking at Mars, it's taking readings, it's making little tiny adjustments in its trajectory. But like Diane said a few minutes ago, it's right on target.
Yeah, everything is working perfectly, and they don't see any, you know, surprises, but you never know. You know, you're still going to an alien planet. You don't know, a sudden storm can come up. I mean, there's all sorts of things that can go wrong, but they feel confident now that nothing will go wrong. And look, you got the top people in the country working on this, the top brains in the country, the computers, it should go well. And I want folks to know you will hear a shout of joy from Florida and Nebraska when it successfully touches down.
But you know what's going to be the coolest part of all of this, folks?
We have our boarding passes?
Well, that's cool. That's cool, but I don't think it's the coolest part. The coolest part of this is once it's on the ground and once data starts being sent back from it over the next few days, we're actually going to be able to get the bird's eye view of its landing. Its cameras will be functioning, and its microphones, there are two microphones on the rover itself. Those microphones will also be operating. We will be able to watch retroactively and hear the landing on Mars.
Right. That's amazing.
I mean, I'm going to be so geeked out when I see that. I may not sleep for weeks. I mean, I'm telling you, folks, this space stuff, Diana and I are just space nerds. Yes. You know, it's what it comes down to. This is one of the coolest things. I mean, there's so much riding on this for the future of space travel, for the future exploration, be it manned or unmanned, not only of Mars, but of other bodies in our solar system.
Yes.
I mean,
and also,
there's
Craig,
a lot of science to be done here.
There's also something very important about this mission. If they do find evidence of past microbial or bacterial life, while that's not human life, it's still life, and it will then unequivocally prove we are not alone.
What, my existence isn't enough?
Hell no. It's too much.
My people come from out there.
My people are going out there.
My people will be there to meet them. Folks, we're so geeked out about this.
This is amazing. This is amazing.
We're going to be glued to this thing on Thursday like you wouldn't believe. And you know, don't be surprised if the topic comes up in Friday's show.
What do you mean, if it does? It will.
I'm just saying. 2 million miles to go. We're less than 2 days away, and it's still 2 million miles away, but it is really screaming through space.
Well, what other thing besides space can go that fast? You know, will our car make it in 2 days? No, not even a Tesla.
and we've got a Tesla out there in space somewhere.
True, it's still out there, and it's still functioning.
Yeah. And there's still an astronaut in the driver's seat.
Yeah, he might not be real, but he's there.
He's there. You know, we're going to be keeping an eye on this, obviously, Thursday afternoon. Deconstruction will be going on at Diane's house. There'll be a rover landing on Mars, and I'm going to be sitting here in north central Nebraska freezing my ass off, but we're going to be having fun.
Yeah, we'll probably, Craig and I will probably be watching it together through Skype.
Yeah.
And oh my God, I am so excited about this.
You know, I even put up a post on Facebook yesterday. I had a artist's conception of the landing and the, you know, the rover sitting there on Mars. And, you know, I said something about, you know, launch 7 months ago, two days to landing on it, you know. Just because I'm getting so stoked, I'm going to be making popcorn, and I mean, this is better than any ball game as far as I'm concerned.
Oh yeah, because the ramifications of this are
staggering.
Totally astronomical. They're staggering. This is the beginning, guys. We will no longer be held to our home planet if this is successful. This is one of the, it's more than a baby step. This is a major step forward.
They're hoping.
We will have problems because we know Biden and those asses are going to be cutting the space program, the funding. They're going to funnel it to all these, you know, socialist programs. But now that the private sector's involved, it's not going to just fade away.
We're going to be watching and we're going to be excited, and we'll tell you about it come Friday on the show. And you know, this is going to be a big deal. Science. Mm-hmm. This is all about doing science.
Yes, real science, not Fauci-style science.
Yep, this ain't the unicorn crap.
No.
All right, we've made it to the end of the show, Diane. You've got work to do. You've been sloughing off too long.
I know. I took an hour away from boxing up things and moving things.
Folks, we appreciate you being here. Go over to rspradio1.com. Check it out. We've got lots and lots of good stuff on there. And we'll be back on Friday. Diane, get to work.
I sure will. Nighty-night, folks.
Good night, everybody. See you Friday.